Adam read our scripture reading, and we followed along from a very familiar passage of scripture, Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail. They were there for preaching Christ, and they were beaten and thrown in jail. And earlier in the chapter, it says they started singing at midnight, and all the jail doors opened. Now, that would probably happen, Bob, if I started singing at midnight. But no, God opened the jail doors. And the jailer, after he heard all the commotion, he was ready to kill himself. Because back then, if you were a jailer and your prisoners escaped, you gave your life for theirs. And Paul called out to him. He said, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." And as we read, he got a light and came in before them, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas, probably Paul, answered him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." I'm so glad that God made it easy for us to get saved. I'm so glad he didn't put any conditions on it. All we have to do is exactly what that verse says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." There's a lot of people today, and really all through the ages, that have wanted to make it harder. In fact, they criticize us who just believe the Bible and say, "Let's just do what the Bible says," and said, oh no, you all believe in easy believism. You've made it too easy. And I want to say, like the servant of Naaman, remember Naaman back in 2 Kings, he was a leper. And he came to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. And Elisha said, "Hey, just go jump in the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times. And Naaman went away mad. He said, "It's got to be more to it than this. I mean, I came expecting, I brought a bunch of money I thought might have to pay. I'm a soldier. I'm ready to go out and do a great deed. All you want me to do is go jump in the Jordan River and dip myself 7 times. It's got to be more to it than this." And he got mad. He said, "If all I'm going to do is jump in the river, I'm going to go on home because the rivers back where I come from are cleaner than the old muddy Jordan River." And one of his servants came to him, had a lot of sense. And this is what I want to say this morning to these people that say, "Hey, you've made it too easy to get saved, you easy believism-ers," if that's a word. His servant came to him and said, "Master, if the man of God had told you something mighty and hard to do, you would have done it, wouldn't you? Why can't you just do the easy thing he said to do?" And Naaman said, "Hey, you're right." And he went and dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times, and he was cured of his leprosy. And so I want to say to those people that want to make salvation harder than God made it, why can't we just believe the Bible? Why can't we just do what the Bible says? Why can't we just take a verse like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Why do we need to make it any harder than that? Why do we have to attach all sorts of things to it? Why can't we just believe what Paul told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved"? I want you to know something this morning. You have a preacher that is for easy believism. You have a preacher that just reads this book and just tries to do what the book says. And believes what the book says. I don't believe in adding anything to it. I don't believe in taking anything away from it. That's why I'm so against all these different translations that come out of the Bible. Because they're always trying to add a few things and take a few things away. I'm going to stick with this book that my grandpa and my great-grandpa and my mom and dad use. I'm just going to stick with it and I'm going to believe it. And in this book, there are example after example of what the world might call easy believism. Let me give you 3 of them this morning. I want to look at 3 times in the Bible where we find this phrase, "Lord, I believe." Lord, I believe. And they're all 3 different situations, but they all, 3 situations, just point to the fact that all God wants us to do is believe him. All God wants us to do is take him at his word and do what the Bible says. In all 3 of these stories, we can learn some mighty important things. So if you still have your Bible, I want you to use them this morning. I don't apologize for this. I like to keep you in the Bible, but turn back to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and then we'll go to Luke for the next 2. But Mark chapter 9, verses beginning in verse 14. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he'd come to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" What are you talking to about to my disciples? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Here was a father who had a son possessed with a devil. And it tells us all the signs. I mean, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. He said he's been possessed with this devil, this dumb spirit. And I brought my son to your disciples. So that he could cast out that devil. And they could not. Look at verse 19. And he answered and said, Jesus talking, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked the father, "How long is it ago since this came into him?" And he said, "Of a child." And oftentimes he'd cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." I want to stop just right there for a second. I notice what Jesus said. All things are possible to him that believeth. Man, I wish we as Christians could just grab hold of that statement. I wish we could just understand that we have a God that can do the impossible. I preached about it last Sunday night. But I wish we could just grab a hold of the truth that we have a God that can do anything. Then we wouldn't have so many Christians that are discouraged and depressed. We wouldn't have so many Christians that have the Eeyore complex. Woe is me. We have a God that can do anything, and the sooner we as Christians grab hold of that truth and get it into our hearts and our minds, we'll be a better representative in this world of what God wants us to be. I want you to know something. There's nothing that God can't do. He can transform your life. He can change your life. He can change your marriage. He can change your kids. I don't care what kind of problems or difficulties or situations you find yourself in this morning, we have a God that can help. We have a God that when the doctors say there's no hope, God says there is hope. We have a God that when you get to the bottom of the barrel from a financial standpoint, still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. We have a God that can do the impossible. In Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, verse 24. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.'" When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And Jesus cast out that devil, that little boy, that young man, however old he was cured. He was free from the devil that had possessed him since he was a child. Here was a dad who, with a broken heart, brought his son to the only one that would help him. And by the way, we need some dads like that today. We need some dads that say, "I'm going to bring my little boys and my little girls to Jesus. I'm not going to believe the lie that the world says that I'm going to warp their personality if I make them to go to church." Praise God for moms and dads that force their boys and girls when they're little to go to church. If they don't go to church when they're little, there's probably not a chance they'll go to church when they get big. Now, I know they may rebel a little bit when they get old enough to make their own choices and say, I'm not going to church anymore. Mom, Dad, you made me go. I'm not going. But sooner or later, those little children, as adults, will find their way back into the house of God. So we need some dads like this dad that took his son to Jesus. And notice what he said. Lord, I believe. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I'll just tell you, and we may criticize him because he added that last phrase, but I'll just tell you, he believed enough to bring his son to Jesus. He believed enough that even when Jesus wasn't there and the disciples were, that if he asked his disciples could help. When they couldn't help, he didn't let it stop him. He believed enough to go to Jesus himself and said, hey, I came to your disciples, I expected them to help, but they couldn't help, so I'm coming to you. I believe enough to ask you to help my boy. He believed enough to humble himself and with tears bow before Jesus and beg and pray and weep for his son. And I know there's people who say, well, I don't know if I believe enough. Yeah, I hear what the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't know if I believe enough. And I'll just ask you this morning, how much is enough? You see, this father said, I believe a little bit, but I still have some unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. And this father learned it wasn't how strong his belief was, it was who he had his belief in. That was the determining factor. It didn't matter how strong his belief was. He probably still had doubts. That's why he said, help thou my unbelief. But it didn't matter how strong his belief was. What mattered was who he put his belief in. And so I say to you this morning, don't believe in something good. Believe in the giver of all good things. Don't just believe in prayer. Believe in the one that answers prayer. Don't just believe in the church, believe in the one that the church belongs to, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put your belief in baptism, put your belief in the one that baptism represents. Don't put your belief in communion, put your belief in the one whose body and blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary that we commemorate and remember when we have the Lord's Supper. You may be here this morning and you're not saved. You say, preacher, I just don't know that I have enough belief. I don't know if my belief is strong enough. I'll just tell you this morning. All you need is the faith that God gave you. And you have enough. You see, the Bible says this. God wants everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible also tells us that God has dealt or given to every man a measure of faith. Now let me just do some math with you, reason with you. If God wants everybody to be saved, and we're saved by faith, and God gives us faith, he deals to every man a measure of faith, don't you think that God gave you enough faith to get saved? Huh? What do you think? We have a God that says, yeah, I want everybody to be saved, and you're saved by faith. I'm going to give you some, but I'm not going to give you enough to be saved. That's not the kind of God that I got. That's not the God of the Bible. The God that I believe in and the God that it is talked about and presented in this book wants everybody to be saved, and he tells us we get saved by faith, and he says, I'll deal to every man a measure of faith. He's given you enough faith to be saved. Every single person. That's why the Bible uses the word whosoever so often. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because God, who wants everybody to be saved and we're saved by faith, has given to every single person enough faith to believe in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. I run into people all the time. Well, I just don't know that I believe the same way that you believe. Hey, what do you mean? Do you believe that you're a sinner? We're all sinners. You can't fight that. And usually if I talk to a person long enough, I can get them to admit to one little sin. Just one little sin. And then I use that verse from James that says, if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And so that person admits to me that maybe they told a little white lie sometimes. I tell them, you're just as guilty as the murderer, as the thief, as the adulterer. You're just as guilty as them in God's sight. And the wages of sin is death. And Jesus went to the cross, not for any sin that he committed, but for our sin, to pay the price for our sin. Would you believe that? Yeah, I can believe it, but I don't know if I believe enough or not. How much is enough? Just use the faith that God's given you. He gave you enough to get saved if you'll exercise it. This father said, I don't know if I have enough faith or not. I have enough faith. I came to Jesus. I brought my son. I just don't know if I have enough faith to get saved. And Jesus said, hey, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. What he was saying, it doesn't depend on how strong your faith is. It depends on the one you put that faith in. So this morning, don't put your faith in a church. Just because you have your name on the roll of a church doesn't make you a Christian. Don't put your faith in mom and dad's religion, because even though you may have had a great mom and dad and they tried to point you toward Jesus, their salvation and their relationship with God it's not inherited. It won't transfer to you. Don't put your faith in some ordinance like baptism or the Lord's Supper. Those are good things, and we ought to do them in their rightful place. But salvation does not come through baptism or through the Lord's Supper. Salvation comes through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And here was a dad that says, Lord, I believe. I believe. And there's probably some people here this morning that need to say the same thing. Lord, I believe. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe there's a penalty for that sin. I believe that Jesus paid that penalty. And I believe if I come to him and I put my trust in him, he'll save me. Now, quickly, let me give you a couple more. I won't take the time to read the scripture. I'll just tell you the story. In John chapter 9, there was a man. We read a story that he was blind from birth. He came across Jesus. And Jesus gave him his sight back. People, in fact, he put some mud in his eyes. He said, I want you to go wash in a fountain. And somebody led him to the fountain, and he washed that mud out of his eyes. And he didn't need anybody to lead him back. He could see. And so he came back, and the people saw him, and they said, hey, isn't this the guy that has been set by the gate begging? He's been blind all his life. And there was a debate. Was it this guy or somebody? And he finally said, hey, I'm the guy. I'm the one. A couple hours ago, I was sitting there by the gate, blind and begging. Now I can see. They took him to the religious body in town there, the Pharisees, and they wanted to know what happened. And he said, a man named Jesus gave me my sight back. A man named Jesus gave me my sight back. And they said, well, they didn't believe him. They called his mom and dad. Said, is this your son? Yep, it's our son. Was he blind from birth? Yep, he was born blind. Been blind his whole life. How come he can see? And they said, we don't know. Why don't you ask him? And so they said, how'd you get your sight back? He said, I told you, a man named Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash in a fountain. I went and washed in a fountain. I came, and when I washed the mud out of my eyes, I could see. And they said, well, what do you think of him? He said, well, he must be a prophet. He must be a prophet. A man called Jesus. They asked him a second time, he must be a prophet. And they said, well, how could this be? We've never heard it like this before. Tell us again. Tell us again. How did you get your sight back? And he told them the story again. And they said, well, what do you think of him? He said, and here's what the blind man that was cured said, he must be of God. And I want you to notice the progression. A man called Jesus, a prophet, He must be of God. Well, this religious body got so upset, they kicked him out of the synagogue. So you're teaching heresy. We don't want you to come to church with us anymore. We're going to kick you out. And by the way, if we don't want Jesus in this place, I don't want to be here either. Amen? If we ever take Jesus out of this place, I'm leaving. If we don't keep him at the center of everything we do, if we don't raise him up, then we might as well close the doors. They kicked him out. He met Jesus in the street. And Jesus said this. I want to read a couple of the verses. I got to get over to the book of John. Jesus met him in the street. Of course, he'd heard that the people had kicked him out of the church. I'll just tell you. And he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And the blind man said, "Well, I don't know who he is." And Jesus said, "The one that's talking to you is the Son of God." And the blind man said, "Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Son of God." Now, here's the point I want you to get. Here was a man who got cured of blindness. Who cured you? A man called Jesus. No, he's more than that. He's a prophet. No, he's more than that. He's of God. No, he's more than that. He is the Son of God. And here's my point. The more we think about what Jesus has done for us, the more we realize the price that he paid for our salvation, the more we realize how he blesses our life day to day. We don't have just a faith like that man did over in the book of Mark that said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." We have a faith that maybe starts out small that grows. Yeah, a man called Jesus. He must be a prophet. He must be of God. No, he is the Son of God. And then one more. John chapter 11. I got to hurry. Almost out of time. One of Jesus' friends named Lazarus was sick. His two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to him and said, "Lord, the one who you loveth is sick. Will you come and heal him?" And Jesus didn't go. And then he made a statement to his disciples. He said, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep." And the disciples said, "Well, if he's asleep, it must mean he's feeling better and he's resting. He must be better." And Jesus said, "No, I'm not talking about that kind of sleep. He's dead. He died." And he said, "I was glad that I'm not there so you can understand a little bit more about me." And so he took his disciples and he went to the place where Lazarus lived. And one of Lazarus' sisters, Martha, heard that he was coming. And she went out to meet him. And she said, when she got to Jesus, she said, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And he said, "Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the one that can defeat death. I'm the one that's going to cause people to live forever. Martha, do you believe that?" And she said the same thing, "Lord, I believe. I believe you're the resurrection and the life. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you have the power over life and death. I believe that you'll take us to heaven where we can live forever." Jesus said, "Good." So they went to the cemetery. And Jesus said, "Show me where you buried him." They buried him in caves back then. And Martha and Mary, Lazarus' other sister, was together with him by this point. And they took him to the place where Lazarus was buried. And Jesus stood before the stone that was rolled over the mouth or the opening of the cave where he was laid. And he said this, "Take away the stone. Hey, guys, come and move the stone." And Martha, who had just said, "Lord, I believe that you're the giver of life, the resurrection and life," she said, no, don't do that. He's been dead 4 days already. He probably stinks. Don't take, practical. I mean, she was practical. Don't take away the stone. He's been dead, and the Jews believe that after 4 days your soul left and went to heaven. Don't take away the stone. And Jesus said, Martha, didn't you just tell me that you believed that I was the resurrection and the life? Didn't you? He said, go ahead and take away the stone. They took away the stone. And Jesus called Lazarus by name. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, if he hadn't put his name there, the whole cemetery would have been emptied. Huh? If he would have just said, come forth! They would have had to take the stones off every one of those graves, because every single dead person in the cemetery would have got up and come forth. That's why he said, Lazarus, come forth. And that man who was wrapped like a mummy, that's how they buried people like back then, came hopping out of the grave. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Lord, I believe. Lord, why do we have to make it so complicated? Why do we have to add things to it that God doesn't want it added? Why can't we just take God at his word and believe him? I mean, there are some of us here this morning that are probably like that father. We need to come and believe God when he says, you're a sinner and you need to get saved. He said, I don't know if I have enough faith. You got enough, because God gave it to you. You might want to say like the Father, I believe, help thou my unbelief, and God will help you. Because again, it's not how strong your belief is, it's who you put that belief in. Some of us are here like the blind man. We're growing in our faith. And as God works in our life, our opinion of him begins to change. We realize how much power that he has. We realize that he's the God that does the impossible. The blind man illustrated for that. Oh, he's a man called Jesus. Oh, he's a prophet. Oh, he's of God. No, he's the Son of God. And some of us are like that in our Christian life, where we're learning what God can do, and we need to get to that point where we realize he is the Son of God, and there's nothing too hard for him. He can do the impossible. And then there's some in this room this morning that are like Martha. We just need to get a hold of the fact that he is the resurrection and the life. And if we go into the grave, we ain't going to stay there long. And we may not come out on this earth, but I tell you, if you're a Christian, you go into the grave, you come out in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Boy, death don't scare me. I mean, I don't want to go this afternoon, but when I go, I ain't going to be scared. Right, George? Because I know if I go in, I mean, I don't wait till I go into the grave, because it'll probably take too long. I mean, the moment I quit breathing, I'm going to be with God. So where are you this morning? And again, wherever you are, here's my plea. Why can't we just simply believe God? Why can't we just simply believe what he says in this book? Why do we make it so hard? Why do we add so many things to it? Why can't we just say, Lord, I believe. I believe. Whether we need to do it to get saved, whether we need to do it to live our life, or whether we need to do it as we approach death or the death of someone we love. Lord, I believe. Say, it's too simple. Easy believism. Hey, I'm going to raise my hand. You're right. You're right. Because that's exactly the way God made it. Exactly the way he wants it to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for making it so simple and so easy that even a little...